finally resting on the number 24.
Previously, I'm 24.
We have a problem. The information on that hard drive is discovered by the Americans.
It'll jeopardize the next phase of our plan.
Well, it's not here.
Keep looking.
Agent Drake.
Drop the weapon! Drop the weapon now!
Jack shoots Nicole dead.
Jack's on the line.
Jack, what is it?
I pulled some data off a hard drive that we found hidden in Anderson's apartment. I believe Mitch Anderson's trying to steal a stealth fighter.
Mr. President, we have reason to believe that a stealth fighter has been stolen by a terrorist. It is in your airspace as we speak.
Just how sure are we about this?
It's a near certainty, Mr. President. This is a stealth aircraft.
If he finds you, he may be on you before your fighter escort can react.
Mitch Anderson, we know who you are. We know what you're trying to do. Captain Anderson. Captain Anderson, Chloe, I think we've been cut off. Is there an override channel?
He's cut off all communication circuits. I don't think there's anything we can do.
Dad. I'm scared.
Anderson launches an air-to-air missile.
Air Force One has been fired on. I repeat, Air Force One has been fired on.
Oh, my God.
Was Air Force One just hit?
Was Air Force One just hit?
Escort pilots report. Air Force One has suffered an indirect hit by an air-to-air missile. Pieces are falling to the ground over the desert.
The following takes place between 11 p.m. and 12 a.m.
This is Air Force One. We are declaring an emergency. Repeat, Air Force One is declaring an emergency. Copy, Air Force One. What is your condition? Over. Extensive damage to the port side wing and fuselage. We've lost our pressurization, losing fuel pressure. Low hydraulics.
Chloe, are those the coordinates?
Yeah, they're 20 nautical miles northeast of the city of Indio.
Edgar! Contact local PD and EMS. Alert them of the situation with Air Force One.
On it.
Tony, do we have any CTU support teams in the area?
The Las Vegas office has two satellite search and rescue teams available. I'm going to dispatch Air Force One's coordinates to all the search and rescue teams in LA and Vegas so they can start for the landing site now.
Edgar, pull up satellite on the National Park. Pinpoint any possible landing scenarios. Chloe, what's happening?
We've lost the signal. They're still moving fast and losing altitude.
Change the frequency.
Yeah, this is Tony Almeida, CTU. I need to report the following coordinates for Air Force One, LA, and Las Vegas.
Okay, I've got it.
Wind at 6 knots. All engines are out. Another glide closer. Going through 75,000 at 210 knots. Roger, 210 knots. Sir, I'll show you
Chloe, we're still coordinates.
Yeah, they're making the turn.
Roger, I'm close to a stall. We are putting her down now. No gear deployed. We are still hard and fast. Roger that, Air Force One.
Air traffic control, this is CTU. We are sending EMS, police, and rescue teams to the site ASAP.
Copy that, CTU.
This is Air Force One descending through 5,500, 160 knots, lighting it up no
Chloe, we're showing on radar.
Green air traffic. We are on the deck. Going in.
Chloe!
Air Force One is down.
Air Force One? Air Force One, you read? Air Force One is down.
I just got a confirm of scattered ground flashes from DOD satellite.
Edgar, bring that up.
Jack runs into CTU and straight up to Buchanan.
What's the status of Air Force One?
It's down.
What's its crash signature like?
It was a rough landing, radio's down, we don't know if there are any survivors.
That's your coordinates to the satellite. Send it to all agencies.
Got it.
Anybody try sub-channel ComSat?
No.
Secret Service has at least 5 personnel on board. All of them have private channels.
ComSat 3 operator.
This is Jack Bauer. Login password, FH Ralphie 4.
Go ahead.
I want you to flood all AF1 channels with an acknowledged signal.
Copy. This is ComSat 3 operator calling AF1 channels 1 through 5. Please acknowledge. AF1 channels 1 through 5. Please acknowledge.
This is Channel 3.
Who's this?
Patterson. We're down.
What is the status of the president?
I don't know. I can't move yet.
Agent Patterson, my name is Jack Bauer. I'm with CTU. Rescue units are en route. What else can you tell me?
I see some bodies. I think we have some survivors.
Washington, D.C. Senior Advisor Mike Novick to Vice President Charles Logan.
Mr. Vice President,
I just received confirmation.
Air Force One sustained an indirect hit from an air-to-air missile fired from the stolen stealth fighter.
Is the president alive?
We don't know at this time.
When will we know?
Hopefully within the next few minutes. Charles. We've known each other for 15 years. If I can offer some advice.
Of course.
We all hope President Keeler is alive, but even if he is, it's very likely he won't be in any shape to run the country. You need to make arrangements to be sworn into office as soon as possible, and the media should provide live coverage. The American people need to be reassured that their leadership is intact.
That's good advice, Mike. I've taken into consideration, but I don't want to act prematurely.
I understand.
Novik is concerned by Logan's woolly vagueness.
Well, we have to get to the White House. I've arranged for a security briefing with the Pentagon.
It's good.
While Logan is numb with shock, Buchanan briefs CTU.
By now you all know that Air Force One has been shot down. One of the escort pilots following Air Force One managed to get a visual of the stealth fighter used to commit the act. The pilot engaged and shot down the stealth. The status of the president is unclear at this time. Rescue teams are minutes away. We'll know very soon.
The man responsible for what has transpired today, Habib Marwan, is still out there and most likely planning further attacks. I want every one of you to rededicate yourselves to finding Marwan. I don't want a single lead ignored or a shred of evidence missed. Let's get back to work.
11:07.
Michelle, let me talk to you. I want you to uplink all current leads to a station so you and I can start working on a priority list. We might not know exactly where Marwan is, but he has to be within a 15-mile radius.
Jack, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just got off the phone with the Secretary of Defense, and right now there's a higher priority than finding Marwan.
What is it?
Recovering the nuclear football.
Didn't it go down with Air Force One?
Not exactly. The missile inflicted enough damage that the plane left a trail of debris as it went down. A lot of things were sucked out.
Including the football. And there's a transponder embedded in the casing, so we know its exact location.
Well, good then. The retrieval team should have no problem recovering it.
The Secretary wants you to head up that team, Jack.
Why?
It's his top priority. That case contains the codes and locations of our entire nuclear arsenal. Nothing is more critical than getting it back and as quickly as possible.
I'll organize your team. Mobilize the units.
Thanks. What's the location of the football?
40 miles northeast of here in the middle of the desert.
Business done. Audrey avoids his eyes and starts to walk away.
Hey. What's wrong? What else is happening?
Paul may have to go back into surgery. Apparently the bullet did more damage than they thought.
I'm sorry.
I keep thinking if I had handled things differently, if I had trusted him more, that...
Audrey, you are not responsible for this. I and I alone made the decision on how to handle Paul. If you want to remain effective, be able to do your job, you have to let it go.
Jack, that's your gift. You're able to block things out. I can't do that.
Jack, the chop is waiting.
I have to change and get ready.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. 11:10, a young couple camping in the Mojave Desert.
Honey? What's wrong?
I don't know, something woke me up. Sounded like some kind of explosion or something.
Explosion? Nearby?
Not sure.
It was probably just a bad dream.
Yeah.
You're still stressed, aren't you? I want you to try and forget about work, okay? Just focus on what we came out here for. To relax. And to make a baby.
As they kiss, the man looks up to see flames flickering in the desert night. picking his way through the undergrowth with a torch, he leads her by the hand towards the fire. They near a small, shallow river.
Watch your step.
As the couple jump down onto the riverbed, they're shocked by what they find. The rocky riverbed is strewn with wreckage and debris from an aeroplane. Their torches pick out suitcases, stray clothes, bits of electrical equipment and ripped computer parts. The man shines his torch on a large piece of metal that juts from the ground. A look of horror overcomes him.
Ellie?
What is it?
A torn fragment of the presidential insignia. XI:11. End of part one. Part two. 11:15.
If the president is unable to fulfill his duties, Vice President Logan will have to assume office, at least on a temporary basis. Cabinet members will need to be briefed on the circumstances surrounding the crash.
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Not all cabinet members are equal. State and defense need more detail than, say, agriculture and treasury.
Yeah, I can handle it.
I just want to make sure the transition is smooth.
I understand, but I do know what to do.
All right. Tony. I've noticed a little hostility on your part. If it's because of me and Michelle.
It's none of my business. As far as the hostility goes, I can promise you, it's over with.
One of you say. One more thing. I think the world of Michelle. Loved working with her. Outside work, we never got off the ground. She never said why, but it didn't take a genius to figure it out. She cared about you. If you ask me, she still does.
Mr. Buchanan, rescue teams are inside Air Force One.
11:17. The burning interior of the crash plane projected onto a large screen.
We're picking up the live feed now.
Bad damage. Two squads, mostly intact. Go ahead, check to see if he's alive. All right. Check him, see if he's alive. Got a buddy here. She's dead too.
Rescue one, the president.
Copy that. They said he was in the conference room. All right. I'm going in. They're coming. Looks like the president's son. He's dead. Where's the president?
Miss Babyham.
Wait, hold on, Miss Babyham.
It's the president. He's still alive. I repeat, the president is alive. We need medevac teams in here ASAP.
Did you read that? We need medevac teams in here.
Inside the White House.
Building.
I have Director Buchanan, Vice President.
Yes, he's right here. Bill Buchanan.
Bill?
Mr. Vice President, I'm in direct contact with the rescue teams at the crash site of Air Force One. President Keeler is alive.
Thank God.
Yes, sir. But he's in critical condition. He's unconscious. He's lost a lot of blood. There's no chance he's going to be able to lead this country. Certainly not for a few days.
And probably much longer.
Mr. Vice President?
Yes, I'm here. This is all confirmed.
The president is being medevaced to the nearest emergency center as we speak. Sir, I recommend you invoke the 25th Amendment and take control of things as soon as possible.
I understand. Thank you, Bill.
Logan pauses for thought.
President Keeler's alive, but he's incapacitated. We should probably contact the cabinet members.
Actually, sir, I've already put that in motion. Most of the cabinet members are standing by. The others will be very soon.
You did that without my permission?
You had enough to worry about, sir. I thought it best to be prepared.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Shall I begin the process of collecting votes?
Yes, go ahead.
Logan stares blankly into the mid-distance like a rabbit in the headlights. 11:19. Out in the desert, Kelly fishes in the air for a cell phone connection.
I can't get a signal.
Try up here.
Jason finds a broken metallic case with a presidential seal on the top. Inside is another case in black leather.
Got it.
Kelly, look at this.
What is it?
I'm not sure, but if it's what I think it is. I read this article once. The thing's got a funny name. I can't remember, but it's got our nuclear codes. It goes everywhere the president goes. I mean, he can launch an attack from it. We gotta call somebody.
Who are you gonna call?
I'll start with the police, I guess. They'll put us through to the right people.
Jack's helicopter pilot.
The football transponder signal's still strong.
Jack contacts Audrey.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Hey.
Look, when I walked away from you at CTU, I felt like you didn't understand what I was trying to say. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't care. I care. I care about you. I care about what happened to Paul. I feel completely responsible for it. But right now this country is under attack, and I've got a job to do, and I don't have a choice.
Jack, I understand. What you have to do is very important.
I just didn't want us to leave things like that.
I'm glad. Me neither.
Audrey, hold on a second. I gotta take this call.
Wait, Jack. Take the call. All right, stay focused on what you have to do.
Yeah, I'll talk to you in a little while.
Okay.
This is Bauer.
Jack, it's Tony. I got a guy on the line the police put through. He's in the desert, says he found a case. Jack, this guy found the football.
Okay, let me speak to him.
All right, his name's Jason Gerard. We're running a background check as we speak. I'm patching him through right now.
Okay, Tony, stay on the other line. Mr. Gerard?
Yeah, hey, call me Jason. I'm with my wife, Kelly. Who's this?
Jason, my name is Jack Bauer. I'm a federal agent with the Department of Defense. My colleague, Agent Almeida, says you found what we refer to as the football.
Yeah, it sure looks that way. I mean, I don't know very much about this sort of thing. My wife and I are just out here on a camping trip.
Okay, fine. Why don't you just describe to me what you found?
Sure. It's a black leather briefcase. It's got a number paneling over by the handle. It was in a protective case that had the presidential seal on it.
Well, that sounds like it. Right now, I'm in a helicopter. I'm about 20 minutes away from you. Look, I just want you to hang out there and wait for me.
So I think someone beat you to the punch. I see headlights.
How far away?
It's hard to tell. A few miles.
Okay, just hold on a second, Jason. Tony, this kid Jason says he's got headlights headed towards him. Do we have any ground units in his vicinity?
No.
Highway Patrol, park rangers, anything?
No, nobody.
How can that be?
We're spread thin, Jack. All state agencies are still assisting with the evacuation.
Jason, are the headlights headed straight for you?
Yeah, they're pretty much coming this way.
Damn it. This situation just got a lot more complicated than we thought.
What do you mean?
The football has a transponder. It's a tracking device. It allows anyone to pinpoint its exact location, as long as they've got the right frequency.
You think someone got a hold of the frequency who's not supposed to have it?
Right now, we're going to have to make that assumption.
Well, who do you think it is?
The terrorists who carried out today's attacks. Listen, if I'm right, we don't have a lot of time. I need you to remove the transponder and take the football and get away from there as far as you can.
All right. Flashlight. Need your light. Okay, go ahead.
The transponder's tiny, and it's hidden in the surface of the case. It's designed not to be found.
Well, then how am I supposed to find it?
Do you have a compass and a flashlight?
Yeah. Get the compass.
Okay, I want you to move the compass over the surface of the case slowly. The transponder puts out an electromagnetic field. It's not very strong, but it should move the needle. Just move the compass over the surface of the case slowly and watch the needle.
Here. Keep the beam on the compass.
Jason slides the compass over the leather surface of the case. Kelly shines a torch as Jason watches for the needle to move. He quickly glances up to check on the approaching headlights, then carries on with a search for the transponder. Finally, towards one corner, the needle is disturbed by a localized field.
I think I got it. I found it.
Okay, good.
Take a knife or a sharp rock and start scratching the surface hard.
He grabs a small stone.
Hurry.
Damn it!
Jason, I'm coming.
Come on, Jason, talk to me.
I am working on it. Okay, I think I got it.
Okay, I want you to take the compass, put it over the scraped area, and tell me, is the needle moving?
No, it's not.
Okay, you've disabled it. Good work. How far away is the vehicle?
Not far.
Okay, I need you to take the football and start moving. I don't care which direction, just start moving now. I'll get back to you.
We gotta go now.
Tony.
I'm gonna need surveillance of the entire area put up to my screen.
11:25. Two Jeeps pull up by the side of a dirt track. Marwan calls to a man with a tracking device.
Why are we stopping?
We've lost the signal.
How is that possible?
I don't know, maybe it was damaged on impact.
And it just happens to malfunction now that we're getting closer? Scan the area for cell phones. Active and passive signals.
Jason and Kelly run through desert scrubland. Jack contacts them by cell phone.
Yeah.
Jason, okay, we found a reserve power station about half a mile north of you.
Yeah, that's right, I remember from the map.
Okay, I want you to go there now.
It's okay, yeah, we'll get there.
The station's a large, unmanned facility. I want you to break in and find a place to hide. I want you to avoid using your flashlight, and as soon as you hang up, I want you to take your cell batteries out.
The batteries?
It'll prevent something called passive triangulation. In other words, it'll stop you from being followed.
What if I need to contact you?
If you need to contact me, put the batteries back in, but only if you have to. Now, I'm going to give you my direct line. Have you got a pen?
Yeah, hold on. Go ahead.
310-597-3781.
Okay, yeah, I got it.
Start moving now.
Okay. He said to take the battery out of the cell phone. Come on.
Marwan and his tracking team.
I had a cell phone signal for a few seconds. It was moving, but it's gone now.
Did it move enough to yield a vector?
Wait. Yes, it was headed a few degrees west of north just before it cut out.
Check the map. See if there's anything near there.
There's a reserve power plant. A kilometer away, maybe less.
Whoever has the football, that's where they're heading.
11:27. End of part two. Part three. 11:31. Jason and Kelly.
This is it.
They arrive at the reserve power plant. Jason tries the door, but it's locked. He picks up a rock.
Stand back.
He smashes the glass from the window and opens the door handle from the inside. Kelly leads the way in, her torchlight flashing in the dim passageways.
We're not in any danger, right? I mean, how could anyone even know that we're here?
I'm just being safe. Oh, a nice relaxing weekend in the desert, just like I said.
Jason spots approaching headlights and peers out through the broken window. Jack in his helicopter.
Mr. Bauer?
It's Jason. These terrorists you talked about, they're here.
How many?
I just saw two Jeeps.
Where are you?
Just inside the power plant. When are you going to get here?
Soon, just stand by.
Go, baby, go, go, go. Come on, just keep moving.
Tony, it's Jack. We're out of time. We need the schematics for the power plant now.
Yeah, it should be on your screen in a few seconds.
Okay, I got it. Thanks. Jason, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Which side of the building did you enter?
The south side.
This is a large facility. I want you to go to the lower level, southeast corner. I'll find you there as soon as we land.
Okay, all right. Hey, Agent Bauer, please hurry.
We are.
11:33. Marwan arrives at the plant with three other men pointing their guns and flashlights. In the dim glow of emergency light, they're confronted with twisting pipes and a maze of damp concrete passageways.
Find them.
The terrorists split up and fan out in all directions, picking through the pipework with their beaming torches. Hand in hand, Jason leads Kelly through a maze of tunnels, desperately searching for a way down to the lower level.
There's got to be stairs somewhere. Here they are.
Wait, what if it's a dead end?
The terrorist misses them and they dash down the concrete stairs into a low-level tunnel.
There's a man and a woman. Where are they?
This way.
They were down here.
Follow them and flush them out.
Go around and cut off the exits.
They hurry through puddles of water, the football in Jason's hand. One of the terrorists pursues them through the gloom, but lags far behind. As Marwan waits by the entrance to the stairs, one of his own men surprises him.
Anything?
Nothing.
As Marwan considers what to do next, he hears something land outside.
Helicopter. Intercepted.
11:35. A CTU helicopter lands in a clear patch in the scrub. Jack and another agent jump out onto the dusty earth and cautiously pick their way across open ground towards the plant building. Having delivered its cargo, the helicopter takes off and dissolves into the night air. Jack and his accomplice quickly find cover behind the corrugated tin wall of a dilapidated outbuilding. As Jack peers around the wall, his cell phone begins to ring.
Jason, where are you?
We just landed. We're approaching the building. Where are you?
We are inside the plant, in the lower level.
A terrorist pins Jack down and kills his backup.
Jack.
Jason, you still there?
I'm here. They are inside the building. We cannot keep hiding. They are going to find us.
I know. You got to keep moving. I'll get right back to you.
Jack returns fire between phone calls.
Edgar Styles.
Edgar, it's Jack. I need to speak to Audrey Raines now.
Shrink. Jack's on line one.
Jack.
Audrey, I'm taking fire. The other agent's been killed. I need the last code for the football now.
All right, hang on.
Jason and Kelly climb up a ladder to the next level.
Take the football! Come on!
A terrorist reaches the bottom of the ladder and starts to climb. Jason and Kelly hide themselves around a corner. When the terrorist reaches the top, he looks around, sees nothing, and on a hunch, runs off in the wrong direction. Meanwhile, Jack is caught in a firefight.
Jack, star 76114.
I got it.
Jack dials Jason and returns fire.
Hey, Jason,
I need you to open the case. The combination is star 76114.
Why? What is the plan of this?
Just do it. Star 76114.
Hey, what's this open briefcase? Star 76114. Okay, it's open.
Okay, inside should be a phone, a control board, and a book with colored pages. It's called the playbook. I want you to remove the playbook. Give the case with the control board back to your wife. The two items need to stay separate.
Why?
Because the control board is useless without the playbook. I need you and your wife to split up.
Who wants us to split up?
I can hear him.
I am not leaving my wife.
You have to.
Forget it.
Jason, please listen to me. I know how scared you are. But if this man gets what he wants, he's gonna kill both of you. Right now, the only chance you have to survive is to separate. Do you understand me?
It's okay, Jason. He's kept us alive this far. Let's just do what he says.
Just get here as fast as you can.
I will.
As soon as Jack tries to move, he's forced back under cover by gunfire. Jason and Kelly kiss goodbye and embrace.
want you to go to that top level over there, right? And I'm gonna stay down here. You just find a place to hide, all right? Okay. Go, 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 hide, hide.
11:43. Jack remains pinned down by the terrorist, who looks down on him from the derelict first floor of the next outbuilding. Jack spots an old paint tin, abandoned in the dry grass, takes hold of it to have a closer look, and has an idea. He stretches over to the body of his dead backup agent and grabs hold of his gun. He pulls out the magazine and proceeds to empty the bullets into his hand. After gathering a good handful, Jack slips the bullets into the paint tin. He rips up a tuft of dry grass and stuffs it into the top of the tin. Then he strikes his lighter and drops it into the tinder. Leaving it to burn a moment, he places the tin near the edge of the wall and fires back at the terrorist. Quickly, Jack runs around the outbuilding and waits. While the terrorist is distracted by the exploding bullets from the tin, Jack creeps unseen into the next outbuilding. He works his way in until he can see the terrorist through a gap in the floor above.
Hey!
The startled terrorist falls dead onto the floor, Jack's shot easily penetrating the slatted wooden floorboards. Jack hurries through scattered derelict structures, cautiously opens the door to the plant, and ventures inside. 11:45. Separated, Jason and Kelly anxiously pick their way through dimly lit tunnels in a desperate attempt to hide from the terrorists. Kelly ducks behind some machinery, whereas Jason tries to put as much distance between them as possible. Marwan appears. Jason hides himself behind some thick pipes. As he moves away, Jason changes hiding place only to be caught unawares by another of Marwan's men.
Oh, I've got him!
Marwan comes running, and as one of his men pins him to a girder with his gun, Marwan shines his flashlight in Jason's face. He grabs his knapsack, rummages inside, then quickly pours through the laminated pages of the playbook.
He's clean. Where's the control board?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He shoots Jason through the shoulder.
Tell me what I want to know.
I swear, I don't know what you're talking about. Please.
He shoots him just above the knee. A terrified Kelly watches in panic from her hiding place. She frantically reaches for the phone as Marwan presses his foot into Jason's wound.
It doesn't have to be this painful.
Jack continues to search for them along the lower level.
Where are you? I'm on the lower level.
We had to leave. We're on the second floor. I don't know where.
Okay, I'm on my way.
They're gonna kill him.
Kelly, stay on the phone. Keep talking to me.
I can't.
Kelly!
Oh, please.
Where is the control board?
Stop! I have what you want.
Give it to me.
First, you let my husband go.
He holds a gun to Jason's head.
No!
Jack hears the scream, jumps over a stair railing and hurries towards them. Kelly finally concedes.
Okay. Okay. I'll give it to you if you promise not to kill us.
I won't kill you. I promise.
It's over there. It's behind the pillar.
11:48. One of Marwan's men runs over to Kelly's hiding place, snatches hold of the football, brings it back and sets it down on a girder. To his annoyance, he can't open it.
It's locked.
What is the code?
It's star 76114.
It's here. Let's go.
Kelly runs to help her husband, Marwan to one of his men.
Kill him.
He walks towards the couple with deadly intent. Jack shoots him and he crumples to the floor.
This is Jack Bauer, I need a medic. Second level, north end of the building.
He's all right, he's gonna be okay. Help is on the way. Where's the football?
They have it. They went out that door. I'm sorry.
Don't be. You did great, thank you.
Air support, two hostiles just left the building. I do not have possession of the football. I repeat, I do not have possession of the football.
11:50. End of part three. Jack emerges from the plant door and fires at the two jeeps. Seeing Jack, they quickly jump aboard and drive off in separate directions. Marwan in one, the football in the other.
Air support! Football is in the lead jeep headed north! Take it out! I repeat, take it out!
As the lead jeep speeds across a wooden bridge, the helicopter bars its path, forcing it to somersault off the road into a ditch. As the helicopter hovers above, its bright searchlight picking out the crippled jeep, Jack arrives on foot, his gun at the ready.
Put your hands where I can see them!
The driver makes a play for his gun and Jack shoots him. Jack checks for a pulse. There's none. Then he combs through the overturned jeep looking for the football.
Support, I cannot see the football in the vehicle. Shine your spotlight on me. And follow.
Jack resumes his search in the brilliant glare of the helicopter's searchlight. He spots the leather case in the dust under a dried shrub, pulls it into the light, enters the passcode and throws open the lock.
Air support, I'm in possession of the football. Go after the other jeep.
The helicopter tears through the night sky in hot pursuit. 11:56. Jack quickly examines the contents of the case by torchlight and contacts CTU.
Almeida.
Tony, it's Jack. I'm in possession of the football. Three hostiles are down, one escaped. I'm not positive, but I think it was Marwan. I'm sorry, but I had to make a choice.
Marwan gave us the football to buy his freedom?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me either.
What are you thinking?
I don't know.
Let me ask you something. Is anything missing?
No, all the components are here. Hold on one second.
Jack takes out the playbook and begins to flick through its laminated pages. Something has been removed.
Tony, I was wrong. There's some pages missing.
All right, look, Jack. The sections are color-coded. What's missing?
Red chapter, section 3. Get Audrey.
All right, we'll call you right back. Take care.
At the White House, Mike Novick observes Vice President Logan with increasing alarm. Another aide allays his concerns.
You're worried about him.
I am. He seems unsure of himself.
Oh, Mike, trust me. He spent his whole life preparing for this. He's just being cautious, feeling his way along. He'll be fine.
Yep.
They're all in favor. All right, thanks. Well, the vote was unanimous.
25th Amendment's been officially invoked.
Tell the press we're ready. Let's get this done. Mr. Vice President, the 25th Amendment is in effect.
Any dissenting votes?
None, sir.
Well, then we should proceed with the swearing-in.
Yes, sir. The ceremony will only take a minute, then we'll take a short break and you can address the nation.
I'm still not entirely certain that a live address makes much sense this time of night.
After what's happened today, sir, an awful lot of people are wide awake. I'm sure they'd like to hear from you directly.
Yes, of course.
We're ready, sir.
11:58. Logan purses his lips and gingerly walks out into a bustling press conference. Novik and the aide exchange glances.
Which contains warhead locations and activation codes.
But we started canceling all the activation codes as soon as Air Force One went down.
Yes, but there are thousands of warheads. It's going to take an hour to clear the slate. Jack, in the meantime, if they get a hold of a warhead and a matching activation code, we will not be able to stop them.
Copy that. I'll get back to you.
As Jack reaches for his cell phone, a medic tends Jason's wounds, and Marwan burns across the desert in his Jeep.
Mike Novick.
Yes, sir, right away.
You solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Mr. Bezos, I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you coming at this late hour. As most of you know, it's been over.
Novick.
Mike, Jack, we got a problem.
Take this oath under tragic circumstances.
Words cannot express the sense of sadness.
Therefore, the football's been compromised.
President Kiefer is unconscious and in critical condition due to injuries sustained during the crash of Air Force One. He is in our prayers, as well as our hearts and minds.
Mr. President.
President Logan has asked me to assure you
I've just received a phone call from CTU.
Yes. To lead this country.
I'm sorry to tell you, sir, but it appears at least part of the nuclear football has fallen into the hands of terrorists.
Demonstrate to the world that MLAs will always be a nation.
12 a.m. The end.